is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
It's undoubtedly an excellent time of the year if you're a big sports fan because you got a little bit of everything. If you're an NBA fan, you got 7, 8, 9 games remaining in the schedule as playoff races start to dial down. The Stanley Cup starting up in a couple weeks. You got the NCAA tournament and the basketball side of things. The only thing we don't really have is football. Opening day was overpassed on Thursday, so we got a full weekend of baseball where the Yankees put up 20 runs yesterday at Yankee Stadium against the Milwaukee Brewers. 9 home runs, a franchise record. Their first 3 pitches against Nestor Cortez, former Yankee, who the last time we saw him, really in a big spot. He was giving up grand slams to Freddie Freeman in Game 1 of the World Series for the Yankees. First 3 pitches for Nestor Cortez, 3 home runs. 1, 2, 3. Gone. That's for Freddie Freeman, Nestor. It's Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo with you alongside Kate Chumsen from the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. Next hour, we're with you streaming live on YouTube as well at ESPN West Palm and on your radio dial, ESPN 106.3. We're presented by Hard Rock Bet. Go download that app today because of all the sports that were the aforementioned sports that we got going on. You got the 2 Elite Eight games tonight. You had 2 great games, 1.5. Great games in the Elite Eight yesterday. You had a fun It's been a great second weekend of the NCAA tournament. The Sweet 16 was very good, and you get 2 more good games today, a bloodbath between Tennessee and Houston, which is going to be a defensive battle, and then Michigan State and Auburn. And Michigan State, we keep doubting them every step of the way, but they keep managing to churn out a victory. They got Auburn. Is it going to be 4-1 seeds? Because now we got Florida and Duke locked in to the Final Four in San Antonio, and you got Houston and Auburn with good chances themselves. But you can watch all these games on the Hard Rock Bet and see what's going on. Live bet, you could do the overs, unders, parlays. You could check out the Discover page and see what other users put together themselves because you could just tag along in just a few short taps. It's perfectly catered to the experienced player and the brand new player. I was brand new a couple months ago. Hard Rock Bet, it was easy to get my feet wet and to acclimate quickly. That's how great it is. You get up to $100 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not even hit. So take advantage of it this week with the opening day and everything like that on the Hard Rock Bet app. It's offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21+ and physically present in Florida. The wager terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling, call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. So coming into the NCAA tournament, let's rewind, 13 days. And I was under the impression that this was going to be still have a March Madness. You never know what's going to happen. It all takes one game, just 2 halves. Somebody's got to put it together. Cinderella's, upsets, the whole thing. Because what am I supposed to think? That's what everybody thinks when they go into the NCAA tournament. I knew that the top seeds were great, and I knew the discrepancy was there. But, like anything can happen in this tournament. So that was my thinking coming in. After the first weekend, it became apparent when it was the first time since, I believe, 2007, that no top 4 seeds lost in that first round. That, all right, well, there's a clear discrepancy between the mid-major teams, the lower-seeded teams, and the teams that are, in the Power 4 conferences, the Big Easts of the world and the top Big Tens, the top SECs, and everything like that. That was our theme. Did NIL hurt college teams like that, the mid-majors at least, because they can't keep up with the high-major teams? Let's fast forward another week, and now the conclusion is, well, we have our 1 seeds, and then we have everybody else. So we thought that there was an everybody else versus the field on the first weekend. Well, there's another one. There's another bubble. And it's that 1 seeds versus everybody else. And I'm willing to even go a step further because I wasn't on it all year, but I'm starting to change my mind. It might be Duke, then the rest of the 1 seeds, then the rest of the top 4 seeds, then the rest of the field. There might be a compartmentalization of 3 different bubbles of talent discrepancy or team quality discrepancy in this tournament. Duke hasn't been challenged. Arizona gave him a good punch, but they could play any sort of way. They could play fast. They could play slow. Alabama's beatable. We knew that. But they sleptwalked to a Elite Eight victory over Alabama. They won 85-65 in the second of the 2 games yesterday, and Florida, Texas Tech. Florida's been bleeding. Florida bled against UConn. Texas Tech, it took an 18-4 run in the last 2 minutes and 50 seconds a game. It was 75-66 with two minutes and 50 seconds to go. And it took some heroics, once again, from Walter Clayton to take them down. I was high on Florida. I still think Florida's my champion. They got a team of destiny written on them. But Duke might be that Goliath in this tournament. I think I'm there, Cade. I think that's where, if I'm going to compartmentalize all it all, you get the low mid-majors that really had no chance to the top four seeds. You had the two through four seeds that really haven't had much of a chance on the one seeds. And I might be, I don't know if I'm there yet, but I might be at the point where you get the one seeds that are looking to catch up to Duke.
I don't think anyone can argue with you, Colin. This team has been completely dominant in every single game of this tournament so far. They're averaging a margin of victory of around 17 points per game right now. Cooper Flagg isn't even the highest scorer right now on the team. For the tournament, he is, but he was the third highest scorer in yesterday's game.
He did not even have a great game.
No.
A couple turnovers. He had 16 points, but they got five pros on the team.
So it's crazy to think that this team that, and I know this seems kind of ironic to say, but like, when you have a team that is this good, there's only been a handful of times in the most recent years that team has been the one to win the championship. There's always been something that falls.
Right.
I go back to the undefeated Gonzaga team in 2020. That team was supposed to be the team that year.
Kentucky against Wisconsin.
UConn won it last year, but
UConn was the best team in the tournament. Nobody was beating them.
Yeah,
that was one of the best college teams I've ever seen.
Go back to the previous Duke team that was supposed to win it all with Zion Williamson. They lose in the Elite Eight to Michigan State. There have been a couple of teams that I can think of recently that have been that team. Okay, you have to beat that team. And sure enough, teams have beaten that team, but I don't know if anyone's beaten this Duke team.
Haven't lost since February. They're 35-3 at the moment. They go 8, 9, 10 deep. They're littered with pros. They all buy in defensively. Cooper Flagg's the best player on the floor in any game he plays. He didn't even play great last night. And he's still the most impactful player on the floor. Coming off a game where he was the first player in NCAA tournament in like the last 16 years to have 35-5. Five rebounds, five assists, that is. I can't believe, and I hate Duke, so I hate giving them this credit. They might be in their own little bubble ahead of the other one seeds. Because Auburn got tested against Creighton throughout. And I know they were tested a little bit, Duke, that is, tested a little bit against Arizona, but they were coasting towards the last 5 minutes of that game. Florida, they were dead to rights against UConn. Maryland had an opportunity. They got gassed. And then Texas Tech yesterday, 75-66 with 2 minutes and 50 seconds to go. What Texas Tech did to Arkansas, Florida did to Texas Tech. 18-4 run to close the game. After Texas Tech comes back on a 16-3 run to beat Arkansas. Florida's bled. Houston escaped against Purdue with a great inbounds play to win the game. Auburn has been tested time and time again. Creighton had them. Very good game. Duke has not been, they haven't bled. That's dangerous. They haven't bled. Michigan had its 8-point lead on Auburn in the second half, and it all just fell apart. Like a 20-5 run. All fell apart. Fire. But they've bled. Duke's not. Now, we knew coming into the tournament that bracket was easy. We knew that. We knew Arizona, in my opinion, was not a top-tier four seed. We knew that, we're coming off the best game of Alabama's in the program history. And how they played against BYU. But I don't think Alabama was the best two seed available. And they played Baylor, which was probably the worst 8-9 seed that they had in that second round. So we kind of knew this. But there's a level to this. There really is. There's a level to this. And I think Duke might be on their own level. Unfortunately. Now, for me, it's going to be anybody else win. Please, I will root, and I'm going to assume, I have a hard time, Tennessee-Houston's going to be back and forth, close game. I think Auburn's going to beat Michigan State today. I think we might get 4-1s in the Final Four. I think we might get 4-1s. So, if that's the case, of the Tennessee-Houston-Michigan State-Auburn and Florida remaining in the field, somebody beat Duke. That's my theme. That's my conclusion. Somebody beat Duke. Somebody's got to do it. And that's why I like the 4-1s. And Kate, I want to get your thoughts on this. 4-1s, it's as chalky as it could possibly get. Basically 1-2, 1-2, 1-3, 1-2 in terms of the seedings in the Elite Eight. A 1-1-1-1 Final Four. Pro, against it. Is it too chalky for you, or do you like this?
No, it's not too chalky for me. This is exactly what college basketball kind of needs right now, is they need the best of the best to go at each other right now. We don't want one seed to skate through to the championship during the Final Four against a 4 or 5 seed right now. Now, had I wished that some team made a deep run? Had I wished that Arkansas beat Texas Tech and we had a double-digit team in the Elite Eight? Yes, I would have wanted to have a little bit of firepower in the Elite Eight. But when it comes to the Final Four and we want the best basketball at the court with the most eyes watching it, all the one seeds, you could potentially have an SEC battle with Florida against Auburn. Then you're going to have two historically good college basketball programs in Duke and Houston go at it. And then who knows what type of game you could have in the national championship. This is going to be one of the most electric Final Fours we've had in some time.
Now, since the tournament expanded to the 64-team field in 1985, there's only been one instance, one, where all 4-1 seeds made the Final Four.
2008.
And Kansas, Memphis, North Carolina, it was a great tournament. It was the Mario Chalmers year when Kansas won it all. It was a great tournament. Now, the reason I like it, similar to then, is all four can win it all. NC State last year, they're happy to be there. Wasn't going to win it all. Loyola Chicago probably wasn't going to win it all. Teams like that, who the success story is getting to the Final Four, sort of things run off their path after that. It's hard to catch a team by surprise for 3 weekends in a row. So that's why I like if Michigan State or one of Michigan State or Tennessee advance, the same thing still applies because they're a top 8 team in the country. But this is not, getting to the Final Four is not necessarily the success story for any of the teams remaining. You know, Michigan State's not going to ride home because they got to the Final Four. Houston definitely isn't. Auburn definitely isn't. They were in the Final Four 5 years ago. This is all going to be win or bust, which I like. It's a little bit of desperation. And I think if you get all 4-1 seeds, I'm going to root for it. Because if you get all 4-1 seeds, you got 4 teams there that can easily win it all. And I love that. And usually you get 3, 2. There's usually one above the rest. And there might be with Duke. But I like the idea of, all right, sometimes we have the guy who sticks out like a sore thumb and it's a fun story. But let's get the best of the best and let's just have like a little bit of a gauntlet Royal Rumble and see who comes out on top. That is what I'm a fan of. Now, if there's a team that I think is most suited to beat Duke, I alluded to it before, I think Florida and Duke would be a classic if Florida was playing well. Florida's had some issues. They turn the ball over a lot, but they've got a little team of destiny. You know, they especially that Texas Tech game. They were dead in that game. Dead. They were terrible, especially the beginning part of that second half. And then some heroics from Walter Clayton. Once again, that guy's willing them. It's a little Shabazz Napier-like when he was at UConn. It's a little like that. Walter Clayton is going to be an excellent, excellent pro. There's so many players that I watched yesterday and we're probably going to watch today where you're thinking like this guy's going to be a great pro. Con Knipl on Duke.
Oh yeah.
Kind of like the unsung hero of the team.
Yep.
That guy is going to be a 15-year NBA pro. He would be the best player of the 68 teams in the tournament on 68 of them. Or on 66 of them. He is that good. And he's their third most important player. It's bizarre.
Do you think that's going to hurt some of these other teams that are trying to play hero ball right now? Whereas Duke is going to make points happen from 5 of their guys. I'm looking at other teams that need those heroics.
Duke hasn't needed heroics yet, you know? So I wonder if you get them dead to rights in that spot. That's how they lost against Kentucky earlier in the year. That's how they lost against Clemson earlier in the year, is they need a little bit of heroics. And what they do in that spot in a lot of ways is they just kind of give it to Cooper Flagg and say, Cooper, go get us one. And listen, I judged it back when they played Kentucky at the beginning of the year because Cooper Flagg was a 17-year-old. He was a different player 5 months ago, and it didn't work. And I was thinking, why are you relying on a freshman in this spot? You know, you got to rely on the experience of it all. And that's kind of the new last 6-7 years, the last era of college basketball is the experience of it. But they still do that late game. They're like, all right, Coop, go get us one. Go make a play. That's going to be, and if and when they need heroics, and I assume they will eventually, that's probably what they're going to do. Now, an 18-year-old freshman, it makes you a little nervous. But when Duke eventually needs the heroics of it all, the Cooper Flagg to make a play, somebody to make a play, somebody to win the game, that is when you'll really see, like, the test. And I'm very excited because it'll happen. Somebody, one of these teams is going to get them. It's going to be, you know, down four with a minute and a half to go. Need one here. Got to do it. Unless maybe the UConn last year. Maybe they kill everybody. But when they need to rely on the heroics, that's when I think they're going to be at their most vulnerable. When they're winning by, you know, and it sounds obvious, but I don't know. And I rely on Florida to make a play. Florida in a tight game, I'd take them because they got the heroics down. They figured it out. They got a formula. And it's let Walter Clayton figure it out. I don't know if Duke has that. I don't know if they have a late game formula. Now, they're better than everybody else in terms of talent, but who is going to challenge them? And they were scoring with and keeping Arizona at bay, but it was always a 5, 6, 7, 8 point game. I don't know. Packed weekend of college basketball. You got a packed weekend of the MLB, the women's college basketball rolling on as well on their side of the tournament. Cade and I are going to talk about who won the weekend a little bit next. It's Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3.
Topper, 19 Uber, jailbreak, Ralph Chowder.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Been a car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall, had an accident of any kind. My friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine over at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys are the type to fight for you. I know with Anajar and Levine, they got my back no matter what. They don't charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. Why settle for just any attorney? Demand Anajar and Levine today because that's the Anajar and Levine difference. All it takes is one phone call. Take back control of your life today. Don't wait. Call for that free consultation now. That's 1-800-747-3. 1-800-747-3733. Take back control now with Anajar and Levine. Colin Russo, Cade Chumson with you from the City Play Studios in downtown West Palm Beach on Sunday Huddle. We had a lot to talk about this weekend, Kate. A lot happened, especially with opening day. And I'm curious. Let's go back and forth a little bit because there's a lot of lauding to go around for what happened this weekend. Who's had a big weekend, who hasn't. Let's figure out who's won the weekend, Kate. Yeah, what do you say?
Let's make that happen.
Let's do that. All right, so Kate, we're going to go back and forth here. I want you to start. Winners and losers from the weekend. We'll start with our winners. You go with your first winner. Who's that?
So let's go with the women's bracket here. I'm specifically going to go with Gino Auriemma. Now, I am not the biggest women's college basketball fan, but I at least know who this legendary coach for UConn is. And I have loved just finding random little sound bites from this guy. I go back.
He's the best with the media. He's so funny.
He's so natural with it. He doesn't sound like he's like forcing this godfather-like quote. It just comes out of him so naturally, and it's always either profound, hilarious, or both. This is yesterday. Mind you, UConn is up by 13 against Oklahoma in the Sweet 16 of the Women's College Basketball Tournament. They're up by 13 going into the fourth quarter. This is what Gino has to say to the media concerning one Paige Beckers.
There's times when she has the ball and the defense is, they know she's not going to shoot it. And I'm thinking, shoot it. You know, you're open. And, you know, so hopefully in the fourth quarter, she'll just, I don't know. Maybe you should talk to her.
I love how simple he takes it. Right? Shoot it. You're
she'll
open.
She'll listen to me. She'll listen. Maybe you should try.
Dude, he's so great. UConn
is very transparent. It's the best.
UConn ends up winning that game by 23. They're going to have an amazing battle against USC tomorrow. I cannot wait for this women's basket bracket to finish up.
You mentioned Paige Beckers. Did you see she had a 19-0 run by herself?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Sparked by that quote.
Unbelievable. A 19-0 run by herself.
She had 40 in that game, career high.
And she's been in college for a long time. She's had injuries. But, I mean, she is going to be one of the best players in women's basketball, if not the best player, very shortly. She's got that Caitlin Clark-type impact, but, you know, it's hard to follow in the shadow of sort of the trailblazer, Caitlin Clark, in that regard. Paige Beckers is the best player in that tournament. She's better than Juju Watkins. She is going to be a star in the WNBA. A star. Well, I agree. What a win by UConn. Unbelievable. I want to go with my win of the weekend. You know, it's MLB. I can't believe I'm giving them this, but it was so entertaining. Yesterday during the day, it was 77 degrees in New York City, which was like, you know, down here in Florida, we don't care. But up there, oh my God, it was like, you know.
End of March?
Yeah, hell is frozen over. And the New York Yankees were at home, second game of the year. People are desperately trying to get rid of the stigma around Soto. The Yankees scored 20 runs. They have 9 home runs. Nestor Cortez for Milwaukee, who the Yankees traded to Milwaukee in exchange for Devin Williams earlier in the offseason, was making his first start of the season. And they take the first 3 pitches and blast them out of the park.
Yard. Yard. Yard.
The same guy who was put in relief to go against Freddie Freeman with the bases loaded in the World Series game 1, and Freeman walked it off. The same guy. And the Yankees pounded him. Gosh, it killed him. They had 9 home runs in the game. And then now everybody's talking about, it's gotten a lot of publicity, is the Yankees have changed their bats. And they have moved down the barrel closer to the label of the bat. So it's a little bit like bowling pin-esque. But so what they're doing is that's sort of different. And it's gotten a lot of publicity and steam now. The company that actually does it is up in Port St. Lucie. And they changed their bats because they realized, all right, our players are kind of coming in jamming on the ball a little bit. Let's just move to where they're actually getting contact. The power of the bat, let's just move that downward. That's exactly what they did. And now that's getting a ton of publicity. Judge had 8 RBIs, had 3 home runs. He had a 4th hit at the wall. I mean, the guy's on pace for like 700 RBIs.
You could tell that they wanted to make a statement because I think everyone was saying, how good is this offense going to be without Juan Soto?
Yeah, without Juan Soto, and also they lost Cole. So it's almost thinking, you know, Yankee down year, Yankee down year, Yankee down year. The Yankees always figure it out, and I hate the Yankees. But they always figure it out. Team's going to be right there in the mix. With Judge playing well, if Judge plays well, everybody else plays better. Because Judge is that good. As great of a hitting prime as we have seen in Major League Baseball, he's the most dominant hitter the past 3 years that we have seen since Bonds. That's crazy to admit, and it's true. Judge is as good of a 3-year span as anybody has ever seen in Major League Baseball.
Could you imagine if he was in the Home Run Derby every year? The 1 year he won it, what was that, his rookie season, 2017?
Yeah, something like that.
He won it.
And he screwed up his swing because of it. That's why he never went back, but yeah.
But like, that was the most dominating home run performance I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
He who was hitting pop-ups over that wall, and then we haven't seen him since. I know he's messed up his swing, but just like, could you imagine if he just wanted to every year? Like, hey, guys, we all know who's the best at this.
2022, he had 62 home runs and 130 RBIs. 2023 is when his season was cut short a little bit, played 100 games, but had basically 40 homers. So he was on pace for the same amount. And then last year, he played 158 games, and he had 58 homers, 144 RBIs, while hitting 320. Won a triple crown. As dominant of a hitting prime as baseball has seen since Barry Bonds. And Bonds was juicing. Bonds had the steroids. Judge is unbelievable. He's an unbelievable hitter. The problem is, the second it gets under 40 to 50 degrees in October, he completely vanishes in the wind. But in the regular season, as dominant of a hitter in this stretch as baseball has ever seen, he is an unbelievable hitter. It's incredible. And you saw it yesterday. Judge, where was this 6 months ago? And I'm not even a Yankee fan, but I just wanted to see the Dodgers competing a little bit. Where was this against the Dodgers? Where was this against the Guardians? Where was this against the Royals?
So what you're saying is that the Yankees won the weekend, but the Yankee fans didn't because they had to watch their team suit up 6 months late.
Weirdly, yeah, I think they're over it. But, I mean, the point is you got to start to appreciate just how good Judge has been. It's just very strange, the discrepancy between him in the postseason and him in the regular season. Just shrinking in that spot. I don't know. It's very bizarre. I mean, Judge had 60 homers and 145 RBIs last year. He couldn't hit a baseball in the World Series. With an oar.
Couldn't catch with one either.
Oh. And he's a good fielder, too. So I can't really... I mean, the fifth inning drop. I understand. But the Yankees are my big winner for the weekend because I think it inspired some hope that, you know, this guy's going to have an 11 war, which is excellent. He had 10.8 last year. He's going to have an 11 war this year. He's already got 3 homers and 9 RBIs. We've played 2 games. Jeez. I'm not even a Yankee fan. I hate the Yankees. But at a certain point, we're going to have to start acknowledge just how great Judge is. And maybe they retooled this lineup. Maybe it's going to go cold. But I think starting the year hot made a big difference for them. Starting that year hot. Cade, you have a loser for the weekend.
I do. And I want to applaud an organization and a media group for abandoning a team that doesn't need to be talked about. Let me explain. When we talk about football, you and I are both sick of having to always mention the Cowboys, the Jets, the drama queens of the league. There's another organization right now that isn't doing that, and I'm so thankful. The NBA has forgotten about the 76ers. And I'm going to put the cherry on top of this season real quick. With their loss against the Miami Heat on Saturday, they are officially eliminated from the playoffs. And I just want to give a shout-out to what an awful season this was for the 76ers. You're talking about a team that went out and sold their future for a guy who didn't want to be there, who didn't properly rest their superstar, who lost both of them to injuries. Now they have another superstar in Tyrese Maxey who is being so underutilized, he might not even want to be there come next season. The utter downfall of this team from what the hype was preseason and what they could have been had they all, one, stayed healthy, and two, act like a functional organization. And then the media stopped talking about them halfway through the season when they realized they weren't going to be a top three seed. Shout out to the NBA. Shout out to basketball media. Shout out to the 76ers for ruining what could have been a big three moment for them.
Cutting their losses. Amen. I got one in the NBA as well as my big loser for the weekend. This team has driven me crazy. I need 48 wins from the Grizzlies to hit my over for the year. 47.5 was the number. 47.5. I needed them to go like 6-13 to finish the year. I'm now at 4-4. They need to go 4-4 for me to get that. They got 44 wins at the moment. They got 8 games remaining. They fired their coach on Friday. Nobody knows why. They fired their coach thinking that everything was going to change. They lost to the Lakers yesterday. They got killed by the Thunder. They lost to the Trailblazers. They lost to the Kings. My God. They've lost 5 of their last six games. Five of their last six. And I need them to go 4-4 to finish the year. What is their schedule? Well, they got Boston on Monday. They got Golden State the day after that in a back-to-back. Then they play at Miami, at Detroit, who's vying for a playoff spot. Charlotte, thankfully. Then they got Minnesota, who desperately wants to stay out of the play-in. Denver, playoff seeding, and then Dallas. Are there four wins in there? Boston, Golden State at home. Boston and Golden State on a back-to-back, both at home on Monday and Tuesday. At Miami, at Detroit, at Charlotte. Then Minnesota at home, at Denver, and Dallas.
I think you've maybe got two.
They got Charlotte.
And you've got Miami.
And you got Miami. They might be able to beat Dallas. That's three.
Okay.
So I need one more. I need them to beat one of Minnesota, Denver, Golden State, Boston, or Detroit.
I think you can get maybe Minnesota on an off day. But that's a lot to ask for.
It's a lot to ask. Kate, the funny part is, a week ago, it wasn't a lot.
Nope.
A week ago, they've lost five of their last six games.
Heck, a month ago, it seemed like a shoe-in.
They were second seed in the Western Conference. And I'm close to going 4-0 on my NBA overs. I took the Sixers under. I hit that about 4 weeks ago. I hit the Cavs over. I hit that at Valentine's Day. And I took the Rockets over, which was 44 wins. They're second in the Western Conference right now at 48 wins already. I would have been a golden 4-0. But now I need the Grizzlies, who play a gauntlet to finish the season. And they fired their head coach. A la, you know, they were 44-29 when they fired him. It reminds me of, you know, firing Adrian Griffin that the Bucks did last year when they were 30-13 and they got Doc Rivers in there and it all blew up and everybody was wondering why. Well, maybe because you shouldn't get rid of your coach. If you wanted to get rid of Taylor Jenkins, who's the Grizzlies coach who they fired, don't get rid of him with 9 games remaining. Get rid of him with 2 months remaining so you can see what the next guy has. This guy's got 2.5 weeks to figure out how to maneuver this lineup and to put his own stamp on this team. And then all of a sudden, they're going to have a playoff series. Who are they going to play likely in that first round? If they don't lose every game, they're either going to play the Nuggets or the Lakers. What are we doing, Grizzlies? What are we doing? I need 4 wins. I'm not asking for a lot. I'm not asking you to split the atom. I'm asking you to go 4-4. For a team that is 15 games above 500. And I don't think they will. I don't think they will. Everybody else in the Western Conference is playing well right now. At least in the playoff mix. Except for the Kings. The Grizzlies stink. And they fired their coach. I am dead in the water there. I'm talking myself into it. That drives me crazy.
For how well your other picks were shooting, too.
Can I get 4-0? Can I just get 4-0?
No, absolutely not. You know the name of the game.
God. Why are you firing your coach with 9? I don't care if he's the worst guy ever. 9 games remaining? Really? You know who's the 5th longest tenured head coach in the NBA? Behind Popovich, Kerr, Spoelstra. Think of the other one. And one other. What are we doing? Guy's been there for 6 years. And that's been an organization that has not been able to hold on to a head coach to save their life for the longest time. Now I'm dead in the water. So, I'm not a happy camper in regards. Mike Malone was the 4th of the Denver Nuggets. Not happy with the Grizzlies. Not happy with the Grizzlies. But, luckily, we got some Elite Eight stuff to look forward to tonight. You got 2 games, the first of which, of course, is going to be basically a defensive bloodbath between Tennessee and Houston, the 2 best defenses in college basketball by and large. That is going to be, you know, a 1st-to-40 game wins. And then you get the other side of it where you get the late game in Auburn and Michigan State. Michigan State, who, mind you, everybody, including myself, have not really been sold on their ability. Lack of a star. They don't necessarily wow you. But they're so resilient. It's a classic Izzo team. Always hanging around. Dangerous team. Dangerous team. Dangerous game against Auburn, which is the later of which. Kate Chubbs and Colin Russo with you. It's Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3. On the flip side of things, we'll do a little blitz the book, make our picks against the spread. Stick around for it. ESPN 106.3.
half, H2 chip, double drag, goes, halfback balloon, dummy spot call, hard three.
This is Sunday Huddle with Colin Russo, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3, a beautiful final edition of Sunday Huddle for the month of March. Next time we see you, we'll be back in the April month. So, live at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach, Colin Russo, Cade Chumson with you on ESPN 106.3. Go try Hard Rock Bet now because we're going to blitz the book here in a moment. But first, if you download it on the Google Play Store, the Apple App Store, go to hardrock.bet online to get started. You could check out some of the lines for today's game, both of the Elite Eight actions with Michigan State and Auburn, and then Houston and Tennessee. You got the Final Four, which is coming up. You got the Women's Elite Eight coming up tomorrow, which should be a lot of fun. You get the NBA closing out their regular season. You get the NHL closing out their regular season. The Stanley Cup playoffs coming out here pretty soon. You got baseball now in the thick of things. You're going to be watching this stuff anyway. You might as well sprinkle a little action on it. Put together a parlay. Put as little as $1 up to 20 legs. Increase your value. Have some fun with it because that's what Hard Rock Bet sort of lends itself to. It's easy. It's accessible. And more importantly, you get great value, profit boosts, and games. If you check out the Discover page, go try it now. Get up to $100 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not hit. The first bet can be a parlay, prop, over, whatever you can bet in a game you choose. Win that first one and get the same amount you bet back as a bonus bet. Hard Rock Bet offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida. The wager terms and conditions apply. Consider by gambling. Call 1-888-ADMIT. Imagine being, last thing here before we get to this, 35-16 on Wednesday, February 5th, the Memphis Grizzlies were 35-16. I needed them essentially to win 17 games or to win 12 games in their last 30 of them. They've won 12-15 since, and now I need them to go 4-4. I need them to go 4-4 against Boston to hit my over on the win total. Boston, Golden State, at Miami, at Detroit, at Charlotte, Minnesota, at Denver, and Dallas. That is two wins written all over it. I am dead in the water. Cade, let's have some fun. Maybe we need to turn our luck around. Let's blitz the book presented by Hard Rock Bet. Blitz the book presented by Hard Rock Bet, where Cade and I are going to go back and forth here and make some picks against the spread and slow of this week's games. Cade, let's start with our Elite Eight action that's coming on tonight. Tennessee and Houston. I think we'll take both picks. How about that? We'll both pick against the spread for both these games. Let's start with the first one. Houston is -3 against Tennessee in this one in the early slate of games. Cade, what do you think?
I've got a dogfight in this one. I think this goes back and forth. No one really gets a clear lead. If they do, the other team will come back. I'm going to take Tennessee +3. Won't take them outright, but I think we got a dogfight today. I think it's going to be a close matchup. Could be potential game winner in the last 5 seconds of this one.
See, this one's tricky because all it takes is like just one missed shot and then some free throws to kill your bet. You know?
Yep.
It could be a one-point game and all of a sudden two dead possessions and then all of a sudden it's a four-point game to close it. Because of that, I'm going to go Houston. That's what I would lean. Okay. You lean into the game winner side. I'll lean into Tennessee going cold 2-3 possessions there and all of a sudden two possessions down. This is the easiest backdoor cover ever. You know, Tennessee having a layup as time is down 5. Or a three-pointer as time expires. But I'm still going to take Houston -3 in this one. I don't love it, but I think Houston's going to win. I think Houston's going to play well. I think they got a little bit more to offer offensively. They've got a little bit more magic and mojo to them. They're similar to a team of destiny like Florida. I don't think Tennessee necessarily has that.
To be fair, Tennessee is trying to break the record for most games played in the tournament without a Final Four appearance. They're at 31 with right now. Today will be 32, which is the outright record. They're currently tied with Xavier at 31. So this will be the game where they have played the most tournament games without
making... They already broke the record, technically.
Today's game will officially break the record, yes.
Well, let's add to the record. So Tennessee's not going to close out this one.
Oh, my goodness.
-3, Houston. That's what I'm taking, that one. Let's go to the second witch. 505, that tip is. Cade, Michigan State, Auburn. Auburn is -4.5. What say you?
This is where I think your strategy will come in. I see Auburn up by 2 with a minute and a bad possession by Michigan State. Auburn ends up winning by 6. I'll take Auburn -4.5.
I'm going to agree with you. I take Auburn minus 4.5. Again, I don't love it. This is a very good line.
That run they made in the second half of that Michigan game.
They've been closing teams out quite well, yeah.
One of the most impressive runs I've ever seen. You're getting like three-pointers with the fouls. Their defense was unstoppable. I don't know why it just like clicks for them.
It looked like, because Auburn the first 3 months of the year, that's what they looked like all year. They were unbelievable to start the first 3 months. They killed everybody. And their only loss basically in the first 20 games was at Duke by 1 point in Duke's building. They were great. And they beat Houston. They beat Iowa State. They beat everybody. And they played the toughest non-conference. They beat Alabama at Alabama. The only team they couldn't beat throughout the year was Florida. But Auburn minus 4.5. Part of me thinks they're getting a little bit of their mojo back, their momentum back. They lost 3 of the 4. Fun fact, no team in the history of college basketball has ever won the title after losing 3 of their last 4 going into the tournament. That's what they did. They lost 3 of their last 4 games, and they would be the first team ever. No team has ever been the number one overall seed losing 3 of their last 4. No team has ever won at all losing 3 of their last 4. Auburn was the first of the latter, and we'll see if they're the first of the former. But minus 4.5, I agree with you. I think a late game run, Michigan State's not going to be able to go blow for blow with them. They're just not going to be able to match up with the firepower. There's too much firepower there. But again, I'm doubting Michigan State. That's a pesky, resilient team that just somehow hangs around. They go 10 deep. They don't have a star, but they do all the little things right. They offensive rebound. They're pesky on ball defense. I would take Auburn. But again, like I'm a 60-40 here. I'm a 60-40 with Houston as well. But that's why I'm going to take Houston and Auburn. I'm taking the favorites. I want it all 4, all ones. That's what I want. All ones.
You're this far into it already. Might as well get them all.
One all ones in the Final Four. That's what I would be more excited for. Cade, let's add some more. Let's do an NBA and an MLB. Let's start with the NBA. Cade, your NBA pick for the day would be what?
I know we always go against the spread, but I am so much better, it feels like, with these over-unders, and I've got a juicy one. Let's go with that Detroit Pistons, Minnesota Timberwolves over the 225.5. Both these teams known for offense. You just saw the Pistons put up 133 against Cleveland the other night. Minnesota obviously has some firepower as well. All we need are both these teams to score 113 or more. I see that happening pretty easily. I'll go with the over on Pistons at Timberwolves, 225.5.
Now, I got to check the injury report. You never know with these regular season games. But the Clippers are playing at the Cavs today, and I believe everybody's playing. Clippers are getting 8 points, which is nothing in NBA terms, really is. But the Clippers have played as good as any team in the league in the last 15 or so games since Kawhi has gotten healthy.
They are desperate.
Kawhi Leonard has been excellent. Since March 5th, they've lost 2 games. To Oklahoma City and to New Orleans. But they've beaten good teams in that stretch too. They beat Detroit. They beat New York. They've beaten Cleveland already. They've beaten Memphis. They beat New York again. This team, and it's because of Kawhi. It's a shame because of his injury history. When Kawhi is on, he is still a top 10 player in basketball. He doesn't go to the free throw line over a bunch. He relies on the mid-range game. He's an elite on-ball defender. He's efficient. He's been excellent. And I think Kawhi Leonard, I think he's playing. But I think that at the Cavs today, +8. You mentioned desperation. The Clippers are tied with the Warriors for the 6th seed. They don't want to be in that play-in. They have no interest in being in that play-in. They're both 42-31. The Cavs, by also 4 games ahead of Boston, likely in good shape. You think about who needs the game more, I would go Clippers. +8 in that one, 330, Cavaliers-Clippers. There's a theme. Cade, let's shift over to the MLB side of things. Your MLB pick is?
These spreads are so ugly because they're always -1.5 or +1.5. Basically, is a team going to win by more than 2 runs or not? There is one that I think we can get some decent value off of, +105. I like the Phillies, -1.5 against the Nationals. Phillies so far have beaten the Nationals back-to-back games. They've looked decent on offense. This is a great rivalry matchup. I think they can at least win today by 2 runs. So I'll take the Phillies, -1.5, +105.
All right. Interesting. I was thinking about going with the A's here because the A's have played well. They're 2-1. They played well against Seattle, but I do not like J.P. Sears, who is pitching. So I'm going to lean off of that one really quick. And I like having my teams. Arizona today has got Eduardo Rodriguez on the mound. That team is 1-2, desperate for a victory in their building against Chicago. -1.5. Give me the D-backs. -1.5 against Chicago today. Eduardo Rodriguez on the mound. Let's get that offense woken up a little bit, yeah? That's what I'll take. Arizona -1.5. All right, Cade, perfect. Those were Blitz the Book picks, right? You want to do one more? Should we add one more?
Can we go over to the women's basketball side of things
say,
when it comes to...
Let's add one more game on the women's side.
I'm so here for it. I'm going to take TCU +7.5 against Texas.
Cap, you mentioned the over-unders. I like the over-unders in girls' basketball and women's basketball. Mm. I'm going the over-under in that UConn-USC game, 140. 140.5, I'm taking the over. I like it. High point percentage, no problem. Give me that. Paige Beckers, 35-16. If I had to pick.
Probably.
That's my final pick. All right, perfect. We'll see what happens. I need the one seeds to win. I need the Diamondbacks to score a couple of runs. I need an over in the UConn-USC game. And I need the Clippers to keep it within 8 against the Cavaliers.
Always fun when you got all of these sports going on at one time.
Right. It's a great time of the year. And right when this ends, then all of a sudden you get to wait a little bit. Then you get the Masters.
Yep.
And then another week, and then the NBA playoffs starts. We're gonna. It's like if you're a sports fan, you're well fed. You're gonna be well fed for the last, you know, next 2 months, 3 months. It dies down a little bit in May, when you know in the second round of the NBA playoffs. That's really all you got riding on. But still, this is gonna be a very fun next 2-3 months. And there's no football, so you can kind of divide your attention elsewhere.
You got the NBA draft coming up in a few weeks.
NFL draft. Yeah, that's right. That's in Lambeau. In Green Bay. That's in 3.5 weeks. Forgot about that. Right when you think, we're not going to think about football. That's when we're going to be doing NFL draft.
Oh,
like
it always rears its ugly head. We've got the NFL owners meeting later this afternoon right here in Palm Beach.
Yep. I'll be there tomorrow and Tuesday as well. That was Cade Chums and Colin Russo here from the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. It's been Sunday Huddle, presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3. Big thanks to Cade. We'll be back at it next week, hopefully with a little final, post-Final Four, pre-national championship coverage of college basketball. Appreciate everybody tuning in. We'll be back at it next week in an April edition of the program. Stay happy, stay healthy, stay focused. It's been Sunday Huddle presented by Hard Rock Bet and ESPN 106.3.
The preceding program was paid for in full by Hard Rock Bet. Advice and opinions expressed during this program were solely those of the guests or hosts of this program and not of ESPN 106.3 or Good Karma Brands.